Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he said that they're not going to pass up on a generational talent. You got me humming here. But they're not going to pass up on a generational talent. We got Cavs at 7:22 this morning, and whether or not Darius Garland had a choke job last night, it's going to be a tough conversation for everybody. If they take Travis Hunter, which is the way like Mike Garafolo took it, a couple other people took it, if they take Travis Hunter, then is Cam Ward on the docket for everybody for number two? Are we just
does so that it make
was,
it easy?
It was Cam Ward or bust, or now if Cam Ward's there, are we taking Cam Ward or are we still afraid to take a quarterback? We have Daryl coming in tomorrow. I kind of want to call and get his ass up right now. Like, I want to know from everybody. Are you willing to take a quarterback if it's Cam Ward? I like Cam Ward.
But we all
thick enough, good enough.
We all think Cam Ward is ahead of Shador, right?
I think a lot of people probably do. I'm
I think
sure
he's my only option at two right now.
Yes. So if Cam Ward's there at two, you guys taking Cam Ward? It's a simple premise. Or are we still afraid to take a quarterback? Because if you don't take a quarterback, like there's guys later on who I can talk myself into. I can talk myself into Jackson Dart. I can talk myself into Will Howard. As long as there's a veteran there that has been traded, or excuse me, signed in free agency. I don't know if you can really trade for many of them, but you know, I'm open to possibilities here. If you brought in a Geno Smith, even if you brought in leftover pot roast Kirk Cousins or somebody else, you mentioned Derek Carr. Okay, Derek Carr. Derek Carr's fine. All right, as long as there's a veteran there. Cam Ward, it's going to be harder to do. I would still like a veteran there. I'd still like to start the season off with somebody else, but it's going to be harder and harder and harder to say that Cam Ward shouldn't just start the season. So if you take that guy number two, you know what comes with it. It's easier to pussyfoot around the situation later in the first round or in the second or third round. Let me go to Ed in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're first up on the fan. Hello, Ed.
How you doing? Hey, I want to make four quick points, okay? Number one, why is the Baseball Hall of Fame still think it's the dead ball era? You know, players play for two teams, four teams, six teams. Why?
Wait a minute.
Let him get his other eight points in.
I'm very passionate about the Baseball Hall of Fame.
You can tune into the Ed and Erie show any day over there.
Well, I'm kind of Ed, I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. Ooh. I'm sorry.
Ed, would it hurt you to talk about the Browns like we are right now?
Point number two, Cleveland State's won 11 in a row, and let me tell you, it is going to be a
God in heaven, the sweetest hit music.
Be you too.
Australian Open heating up. What happened to Coco?
God in heaven, the sweetest hit music.
He would have got the Cam Ward had you allowed him.
Really?
Eventually.
I want to agree with him about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I think I would have agreed with him with the Baseball Hall of Fame. I mean, you're allowed to get a couple things in there, can't you? 216-474-0092. So is the official show stance now just taking Cam Ward?
I think so.
I mean, I've had it out of my mind so much that I've started to argue about Shador Sanders and his dad and whether or not he'd come here. And, I mean, good God, this is just how not great of a class it is and how not great of a year it is to need a quarterback. Is yesterday, I mean, I brought up Will Howard. People started going, you can't take Will Howard number two overall. I go, I didn't say take Will Howard number two overall. That never once came out of my mouth. I said by the end of the draft process, he could be a second-round guy, or if he's a second-round guy, he could go, well, do I want a fifth year on him? Am I willing to trade from that 33rd pick up into the back end of the first round to get a fifth year on him? That I was willing to ask. But this draft class is so crazy and so not good, it's left us all with a lot of questions. And I think a lot of people, they don't want to be left holding the bag. Because I do think, and this is where Daryl comes into this, and he's in my head on a lot of this stuff. I think everybody just assumes that this is the final year of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, and it's a lame duck year right now. And I don't think that Browns fans want to be left holding the bag for some rookie quarterback that they weren't really actually that hot about in the first place. So they can go out and get Kirk Cousins. You know why? Because you don't love Kirk Cousins. It doesn't matter to you about Kirk Cousins or anything like that. You're probably, more than likely, you're not going to fall in love with that guy. You can go out and get somebody else, and that's okay. And then if you get like Will Howard, all right, I like Will Howard. He can be a mid-round guy. We'll take a swing on him. If it doesn't work, whatever, add him to the list. Same thing with Jackson Dart. It's not the same risk you would have. It's like, whoa, Cam Ward's available here at number two, and I got 10 minutes to make this decision here all of a sudden. Now we're up against it. Now I got to throw, do I trust the coaching staff? Do I trust the general manager? Those are two things that are very, very hard to answer, and I don't think I want to take calls on that. Do I believe that he is the right guy for this, or am I going to be left holding the bag if this guy doesn't work out on another draft class that we might miss out on because everybody wants to say that next year's draft class is going to be so much better? I want to wait to get there, but that's going to be the main thing that's said. So you have a lot of decisions to make, and I'm thinking, well, hey, if Cam Ward's there, damn the torpedoes, go ahead and take Cam Ward. I mean, I'm willing to take Shedeur Sanders if Shedeur Sanders is willing to play here. I know what comes with it. I understand that, but I don't want to be in this position again. I don't need to be in this position again. I got to give myself a fighting chance. I'm not going to use Washington as an example. I agree with Brian Baldinger. I don't think you can just take Jaden Daniels and make another Jaden Daniels and put him in Cleveland. But I know the only way out of this mess, and it is a mess, is going to be to take a quarterback or we're just shouting into the wind.
Kenny,
and we're going to waste each other's time and
lifetime. You, over the years, I know you've started your new off-season list.
Tracker, yeah. I'm up to 2 pages now. I'll put that out.
Well, you've had the tracker. I do think we need to hear it at some point. But in the past, didn't the tracker prove one thing, that everything being said right now doesn't matter? Doesn't matter. That GM saying that, or the new guy... Yeah. Making the choices with Tennessee, him saying that is only designed to throw everybody off the
set.
But
that's going to spur conversation because if he's there, maybe he is going to be there. Maybe I think, honestly, it's to entice somebody to trade up to go after number one. We're open for business. Whether that be the Giants, whether that be the Raiders, somebody else, I don't know how much you're going to give up for Shedeur Sanders. Maybe that's an enticement. But you're still sitting there at number two, and if they're trading up, they're probably trading up to take Shedeur Sanders. And so if they're going to trade up to take Shedeur Sanders, then fine. Cam Ward's part of the conversation. Because it can't just be no quarterbacks. There has to be an opening there. And I think so many people, it's been convenient for them to go, well, Cam Ward's not there, so hell, let's trade out of it. Okay. Troy on the road, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Morning to you, friend. Go ahead.
I'm okay with a Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders pick if you know they're in love with the guy. Shedeur, obviously, if he's willing to come here. Me, if it was like Madden and I was in charge of what's going on, I think I'd like to go the free agent route and then draft, you know, a Dart or a Howard in a later round and go with a Mason Graham or Abdul Carter with that earlier pick, maybe, and maybe it's a homer pick, but if, you know, in the second round, maybe a Jack Sawyer. But what's your thoughts on the name of Carson Wentz as like a veteran free agent? Not a name really people bring up.
You know, I've heard so many bad things about him being poison, Troy.
Troy, if you were looking for, and as somebody who is a big Carson Wentz fan early on in his career.
Well, you know your quarterbacks, don't you?
If you are looking for someone who comparatively may have had a worse drop-off than Deshaun Watson in their career, you found him with Carson Wentz.
Yeah, a lot injury prone for sure. But just a thought, because we're basically essentially just throwing darts at the dartboard, you know.
Did you say Jackson Dart? Is that who's next?
Yeah, he's not bad. I just worry about, you know, Lane Kiffin. By what I've read, kind of would pretty much tell him his reads for the most part. But
did the same thing with Watson. Well, I mean, when you have, like, if they take a guy later on like Jackson Dart, Troy, thank you very much for the call. You take a guy in the third round of this draft, it's like, hey, let's. He might be the best natural quarterback. He might not be the most ready. And you're going to hear me say that a time or two coming up, getting ready for the season. Because you're going to probably take a guy. If you go that route, we did this like crazy with Deshaun Kizer. And you and I got in screaming matches with each other. Because nobody wanted to understand the difference between best on the roster and most ready. He wasn't ready to play, and they put him out there, and he sunk his own career, and they helped do it. He wasn't ready to do it. And on that roster, by the way, that quarterback room, won a great quarterback room anyway, so being the best of that quarterback room really wasn't saying anything. For him, for Dart, or for Will Howard, it's like, hey, take some time here. Take some time. Prepare. Get ready to play. You're going to play at some point probably this season, but if you go out, you get a Cousins. Cousins knows the score. Derek Carr should know the score. They should be competitive in the fact that they want to go out there and win and compete and maybe even hold on to the job. But until that moment, you know what's going to happen here. Carson Wentz, I just keep hearing so many things about him being poisonous. I really don't want a part of it. Bobby and Willowick, got to go quick, but go ahead.
You know, we got to get a veteran quarterback, a Colin Kaepernick or something, draft someone from college. You know, listen, we went after Deshaun Watson. Look what happened to that. We can't get any worse. But, you know, Kenny, I agree 100% with you, buddy.
All right, Bobby, thank you very much for the call.
Wait a second. Is there...
At least he was in football and not talking about Deadball Hall of Fame.
I do genuinely wonder. Remember, people used to call Jeff Sindelar, and
it's a good item.
And they would reference their buddies and ask Sindelar whether those guys should get a call up or whether the baseball card of that guy is worth anything. And Sindelar, I mean, I love him, RIP, but he would just BS his way through the answers, right, on a lot of those guys. Is somebody urging random fans to call shows all over the country to mention Kaepernick? That's the only way that Kaepernick would still be brought
like
up.
Like a national...
Yeah, is it a joke and they're going to play that recording on their show somewhere else, like the Baba Booey calls back in the day for Howard Stern?
Yeah, but you and I love that type of craziness so much that we would love to be included in a master
reel
like
that. Colin Kaepernick last played 9 years ago.
I mean, that was before my son was born.
He still gets
the last
called.
Time we had arguments now, about Colin Kaepernick was now, when he was an infant.
Now, Teddy Bridgewater took a snap.
My son, not Colin.
Did Teddy Bridgewater just take a snap in a playoff game?
Yes.
So, I guess all things are possible.
And scored a touchdown on that play.
That's how badly people don't want to play Deshaun Watson this year. Around. They're willing to go back to guys who retired 9 years ago. Or didn't retire, I should say, but haven't played in 9 years. Did not retire. Certainly didn't. But have not played in 9 years. Teddy Bridgewater. Can we bring in Teddy Bridgewater? He did take a playoff snap. Lord almighty. Darius Garland had a chance to tie things up or take the lead last night. Flagrant foul happened when he tried a three. Tari Eason came down, went up, and came down in the landing zone. They called it a flagrant. Udoka was upset, went to the line, missed the first two, hit the last one. Donovan Mitchell went for a three. He couldn't hit it. Cavs fall in Houston. You asked me right at the beginning of the show. Before the show, you go, how did you ask me about choke jobs? What did you say?
I asked if you believe in choke jobs.
If I've called people choke jobs before, or people have committed choke jobs before, and I've said, I mean, when it's happened, but you said you never heard me do it. And then you basically asked me point blank, was last night a choke job by Darius Garland?
Because, and the reason I asked you is because you can make the argument he's been the best shooter in the NBA this year. And so the best shooter who was chasing 50, 40, 90, 50 from the field, 40 from three, 90 from free throw, the free throw stripe, he missed yesterday. In total, he missed five free throws yesterday. So,
and he had four coming into the game.
He went from 92% from the free throw line, or 93, down to 87 in one night. It fell off a canyon. So he missed those free throws. There's nobody down there. Like you pointed out, Kenny, you are truly on an island on those types of free throws because there's nobody there to even mess with you. There's nobody. Now, I did have a problem. Kenny Atkinson did something that I couldn't believe and I didn't like. Go back and look at the missed free throws. Kenny Atkinson is standing and kind of moving a little bit in, to me, in the...
the periphery.
In the periphery of his vision.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, that was a tactic that I remember when the Cavs had like Tristan Thompson and had a bunch of guys... When Golden State players are shooting free throws on their end, you had Cavs going up and down, like pretending, throwing towels.
Warming up, doing the leg kicks
and
all
just
that.
To see if we could get in the outer limits of the vision. And Kenny Atkinson was there. I wouldn't have expected that. I thought a veteran coach of his nature would get the hell out of there.
Like Mr. Whammer?
Yeah, you don't want anything. You don't want anything over there. Anyway, he missed those free throws, and it's just shocking. It's shocking because that guy has been as automatic in the NBA at the free throw line or just shooting in general this year as anybody. So is that the definition of a choke? It's only a regular season game, so it's not like everything was on the line. I will say the only thing to me that I thought was on the line last night is I think that officially eliminates the Cavs from being able to chase any kind of all-time NBA history.
I mean, that was kind of
season.
That was a bit of a pipe dream anyway. Yeah, it's a very tough thing to do. Also, it does give me, because I did think in the background of it, I wish they didn't come back from the 19, or didn't have the 19-0 run, because if they didn't have the 19-0 run, then I could have just blamed it on and said, well, Evan Mobley was hurt, and we got out-rebounded, we got killed on the glass all night long, and if you have Evan Mobley, that's a different story, and I move on with it. Instead, I got to have this conversation about a guy who I've really loved and I've really defended over his time here in Cleveland. Here's Kenny Atkinson on the ordeal.
I told him, you've been carrying us all year. He put himself in a good position. One of the best free throw shooters in the league. It happens. I love that guy. I love his effort. You know, without him, you lose by 10. So to me, it's almost irrelevant.
I wanted him to go Jim Boeheim with Jerry McNamara. We wouldn't have won 10 bleeping games without Darius Garland this year. So do I have to call it a choke job?
I mean, yeah, by definition, I kind of got to call it that, don't I? Chance to take the lead.
The situation is a horrible choke.
I hate doing that.
You got to feel like it's the same amount of pressure that he's going to have on him in the playoffs.
It just feels so mean. You're a 36-7 team. It just feels wrong.
But that's where the standard is now.
Feels terrible to say it.
The standard of the fan is now, hey, we need to win these games that we're put in a position to win. Especially if he hits the two, they're up by one. They still get the ball back with 2.8.
Damn it.
And they get fouled again. You're up by three.
I can't say it's not a choke job just because I like the guy and it's my favorite basketball team.
That's the thing. You don't just like him this year. You love him this year.
But I'm not mad at him because it's January 22nd or yesterday. January 23rd today. I'm not mad at him. It happens. Donovan Mitchell was asked about it. I thought Donovan Mitchell's answer was spectacular.
I'd rather it now than in June. That's how I tell them. Do it now. And all the mistakes happen now, and we're fine. Like, he's fine. He's going to, you know, be hard on himself, as we all would be, you know, and that's why he's so great in what he does. But I told him, look, at the end of the day, we wouldn't have been able to get to those free throws if you didn't do what you did. So he's been great all year, great in the fourth all year. It happens.
Help me call it something else. 216-474-0092. How do I say it's not a choke job?
He had missed 14 free throws.
Help me.
All year, he was 128 of 142 going into that game. And obviously, he had already missed three last night. So that's where you thought, well, statistically, it's an impossibility.
He's gotten him out of him.
Yeah, he's already missed the free throws that he's going to miss for the next 2 weeks. And then he missed two more with everybody just staring at him. I did tell you before we get to the phones, I liked his reaction. I like that he was laughing. And I know some people will be like, what the hell? He should be down in the dumps. Well, first of all, game's not over.
Yeah.
And they got another shot. In fact, they got two shots. Donovan Mitchell missed the turnaround jumper.
Yep.
And then the rebound, nobody boxes Darius out. Van Vliet didn't box him out. He went and got the ball and just kind of flung it up, and they were out of time, and he missed it. But the game wasn't over, and I feel like a choke job would have been accompanied with a woe is me approach. Instead, he was kind of laughing. He was kind of laughing about it.
Chuck and Hinkley, you're first up on the fan. Help me call it by any other name other than a choke job, Chuck, please.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
And I wish I could help you there, Ken, but I'm a lifelong Clevelander and multi-sports fan. I'm a multi-year listener and my first time calling, so this really struck a chord with me this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Chuck. Go ahead. I appreciate it.
I'm in a scenario where I've watched all games but two this year, and I watch them intently. I watched last night, and I saw three chokes happen. It wasn't just Darius. Where Darius stumbled, and what makes it difficult to forgive him and not call it a choke by a Cleveland fan is because he's been running his gums for 2 weeks like a politician to try to get into the All-Star game, and you can't deny that. When it was your time to step up to the line. And literally, this is schoolboy stuff in the gym. You got three free throws to win the game and get possession of the ball and seal the game. You failed. And to laugh about it, I wasn't laughing. I called him a choker. And then, like Tone said, over in the periphery, there was Atkinson. I'd been waiting for him all season long to make a mistake. His mistake wasn't that he was there on the periphery so much. It was the mistake that he didn't have a play called for the other guys in the remaining 2.8 seconds. And to do a turnaround jumper with Donovan, come on. You should have been slamming that ball into the paint and at least drawn a foul. You'd have had an opportunity then. That's the way I see it. I love Ward, by the way.
And if Ward's there, take him. And if Howard's there down the road, take him and Cousins. Cousins would train the two of them. It would be incredible. And get a great back or two. And we got it made.
All right. So, Chuck, I thank you very much for the call. I'll tell you this, though.
We're going to have seven quarterbacks on the roster.
The Atkinson thing was incredible. And, Chuck, I got to let you go because I want to fit some other people in here. The Atkinson thing, all right, I can see that. The choke thing. I agree that I have to call it a choke. I don't agree with the reasoning. Now, you talk about him flapping his gums all year. Now, this is a question that was asked. This couldn't have been very long ago, Owen.
This was on the 8th.
The 8th of January.
I believe they had just played the Raptors.
He was asked. Do we have the question as well?
They had played the...
Doesn't matter. Regardless.
Other team, yeah.
Do we have the question in here as well?
Yes.
All right. He was asked. Listen to how he's asked. Go right on ahead.
Do you believe you should be an All-Star?
Yes. I don't know how many times I have to say it. I'll be trying to be humble as possible. But, yeah, I should be an All-Star. Yes. Oh, there should be four of us on this team that's All-Stars.
Well, what the hell is he supposed to say? Nah, I suck. I shouldn't be an All-Star.
And they had the best record in the NBA.
Well, kind of led him to say it, didn't he?
He could say, that's not for me to decide. That's the voters. That's the fans.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're still going to have confidence in yourself.
What else he's having. He could say
it's
that.
It's January 8th when he says that. And remember, he led them in scoring last night. Donovan Mitchell, not the worst night he's ever had, certainly not the best. I mean, gosh, he's coming off of 36 and 33 points over the weekend. But, my gosh, I mean, Tone, Darius Garland's been fantastic. Is he supposed to not say anything about himself
that
in that
is
moment?
After when the big OKC win.
Okay, so
that's being way too hard on him.
Exactly.
Come on, he has been an absolute
It wasn't like he was Freddie Mitchell after he caught the touchdown pass in the 90s. Like, this is...
He also stopped kissing his ass.
But he's been an All-Star this year.
I didn't say it wasn't a choke job.
He's 100% been an All-Star.
He is an All-Star. It is a choke job. I hate to say it, unless somebody can help me find a way out of this. It is a choke job. It's just not for that reason. I don't think that he has been so demonstrative and politicking to say that he is an All-Star. I don't believe that. Where do you want me to go on this one?
Mike.
Okay, Mike and Shaker. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Mike? Go ahead.
Nothing much. Hey, man, let's not go ham on Darius Garland, man. You got to remember, LeBron used to miss a lot of free throws. Hey.
All right, Mike's call broke connection. Up, but you are right about LeBron.
I know where he's going.
He is right about LeBron. I like that.
I know where he's going.
Okay, I feel better.
LeBron was – it took him a long time for me to think he was going to hit. And then, obviously, that second go-around when he was back in Cleveland, I'm like, he's never going to miss these. He's going to make every clutch shot.
Takes a minute. Mitch on St. Clair, you're next up on the Fan.
Before I get started, please, don't you guys ever in your life disrespect the GOAT, LeBron James. Thank you. Now, as far as I keep on going,
He didn't miss a whole lot of free throws at the beginning of his career.
Hey, I said, don't.
Did he not miss a whole bunch of free throws at the beginning of his career? Would he admit that,
Mitch?
Would he admit that? Would he admit? Well, it's okay for him to disagree with me. I'm going to ask you though. I want you to tell me the truth. Tell me the truth, Mitch. Uh-huh. Did he or did he not miss a bunch of free throws in the first 7 years here with the Cleveland Cavaliers? Don't deny yourself. Don't deny yourself. And don't deny the listeners because you know the truth. That's why you play to the fifth. Continue.
Okay, I plead the fifth. He's still the GOAT, in my opinion.
No one said he wasn't the greatest basketball player because he missed a bunch of free throws. Nobody said that.
Okay. Before I go on, before you guys kick me off, I do have to say this. Darius Garland missed. Okay, we might call it what you want to call it, a choke job. Listen, they was missing Evan Mobley. Also, we got to remember that's the second seed in the West. The Rockets ain't no slouches. We're on the road. We're tired. He missed it. He choked a little bit. Who cares? DG to PG.
Well, you either choke or you don't choke a little bit. You either choke or you don't choke.
Did they lose by one? Yes, they did. They choked. I mean, he choked. Okay, who cares? It's not the end of the – but the Cleveland fans were so used to losing.
No, so hold on. Whoa.
Nobody said to trade him.
I just celebrated my fourth championship on Monday night. What are you talking about?
I can't count on him.
I expect to win.
Whoa.
I expect to win.
Expect victory.
Hold on. Time out. Before I go on, fellas, before 2016, before the GOAT gave us our championship in Cleveland, Ohio, when was the last time we won? Was it the 60s? I think we were still in the sack before that even happened, guys, right? We have never seen it. So when things like this happen, Cleveland fans overreact. It's okay. We'll be good. Wait, like in the playoffs, I can understand. Remember what Gilbert Arenas did when the goat tapped him on the chest and said, make these free throws? Now, that was a choke job. Come on now.
That was a choke job. That was a great
moment. That was a choke job. Thank you very much for the call, Mitch. 216-474-0092. Josh and Bria. Josh, hello.
What's up? And I agree with 90% of what that last caller said. We do tend to overreact. I mean, last night I was being told on the internet that I need to go to bed for saying, hey, we'll get him next Saturday, and DG's been one of the most clutch players, and everyone's like, he's not clutch. He missed those free throws. Well, I mean, according to NBA.com, he has been the most clutch player in the NBA, so I'm just going off of that. So, yes, it could be a choke job, but in the same breath, it also could be, hey, we're not in that position in that game if it wasn't for Darius. Darius had put us up by three before then, and, we'll, you know, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, you know, he had a great, you know, post-game conference, but if I'm Donovan Mitchell, I'm loving this because it seems like Darius is just going to catch all the strays for Donovan Mitchell, because I don't know if you guys have seen his shooting percentage.
He was 1-8 last night. He was 1-8 from long range last night. It certainly takes a lot of heat off that.
And but look at his shooting percentages of these last six games. We're 3-3, and Donovan Mitchell's like shooting 42% from the field. Like,
yeah, he stepped up after we were a little worried about him a week ago.
See, this is an impossible. Yeah, this is an impossible exercise, Josh, for us. Do you understand that? You know that. If he played for the Milwaukee Bucks, Josh, thank you for the call. If Darius played for the Bucks, you would watch last night and go, it was a choke job. You might make a big deal about it, or you might make a little deal about it. But since he plays for the Cavs, I got to call it what it is. But if I call it what it is, then it's just too mean because he plays for the Cavs.
Yeah, and I'm not.
I hate that.
I'm not losing my mind because you didn't have Mobley.
No one's losing their mind. Except when Mitch calls
in. Isn't it a great place for the Cavs to be? That there is care about this January 9th?
Yes, I said against Oklahoma City when they got routed that the one, to me, saving grace was to hear fans treat it like a Browns game. Now, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous because Oklahoma City went out and lost their next game. Like, we treat these games as these huge, huge games. In the end, they're regular season NBA games. But what has been the rap on the NBA? What has been the biggest criticism?
Boring regular season basketball.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Guess what? In Cleveland, people absolutely care about the regular season right now. And that's what's been awesome about this. The fact that they're 36-7. The fact that, they got a six-game lead over the Boston Celtics, who had to use overtime to win a game last night. You are in a really, really good spot right now. I feel like you've been the talk of the league. It's been a great year. And even this reaction today about some missed free throws on the road when you're shorthanded, it is awesome.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML, fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
I don't want to do this now. I'm getting the text, just based on you,
I got
getting
a text.
People pumped up about my little procedure coming up tomorrow.
I got a text from one of my many bosses, one of the many people I answer to, who said, you should call today, fix my life. It should be fix my loins.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Well said.
This coming from Drew. Went to high school with Drew. My buddy just had the vasectomy in December. His nuts were the size of grapefruit, had a hematoma, and they had to reoperate. Except for 3 weeks, it felt like someone was lighting his blank on fire while simultaneously punching them.
Outstanding.
That was one. We also got a tweet. And again, social media reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Guy at work got the procedure done last August at a very big hospital around here. Ended up having to miss work for 3 months because things swelled up like a grapefruit. He couldn't walk. Okay, that's...
Couldn't walk.
That's not going to work for me. I got these two kids, very young kids. I got to be able to help.
Well, you're only hearing horror stories. That's like one out of... How many guys get this done every year in Northeast
Ohio? My buddy in Seattle heard us talking about the show. He said, me and my buddies all went in on the same day, and we ended up partying all weekend. It was no big deal at all.
We do also know a guy that was out for 2 weeks, personally.
Is that the same guy that was out 2 weeks for everything?
Yes. You better. Hey, I didn't say that. He listens to everything you say, so I didn't say it. Don't be sending the nasty text to me. So how does Lima deal with it this weekend? You are scheduled for 3 o'clock tomorrow?
3 o'clock.
He's getting it done at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Now, some people thought this was sick. They weren't listening at the time. Lima does have the option to watch it on a on a closed circuit television screen in the operating room if he wants to.
That's right. In HD too. On Paramount Plus.
Wow.
Short throw projection from this. Never mind. So how does Lima get over this this procedure?
Well, and, sure,
and you've been given, your wife has told you, like, you sure you want to get it?
Yeah, my wife had something going on with her doctor, and she was like, hey, you actually don't need to do this now. She actually did this, and it just happened yesterday. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this again, because if you end up stopping what you're doing in 5 years just because you're sick and tired of doing that, I'm not going to go through this again, because I've had to think about it for a month, and we've rescheduled twice, once on their end, once on mine. I just want this done once and for all.
You don't
want
to be a 50-year-old with a newborn.
Oh, my God. No, you don't.
No, no, no. I didn't want to be what I was with a newborn. God.
You're actively not wanting to be.
Let's go to the phones. Mike in Valley City, Merv in Valley City. You're first up on the fan. Hello, Marv.
Hey, it's Marv. How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Marv. Go right on ahead.
I just want to say, first of all, you picked the right day. You picked a Friday. Excellent. Get yourself two bags of frozen peas, your favorite bottle of liquor, and you'll be good to go.
Are you allowed to drink going in? Can you have a couple of nips
before, during, and after?
Before you go in,
I didn't do that going in, but hey, if that's what you want, go for it.
What about probably? I was warned about the color. What will be the discoloration down there?
I didn't have a lot of discoloration. I think it's very important for you to get that.
Congratulations on all your success.
Something cold on there as quick as possible.
All right, Marv, thank you very much for the call, my friend.
What's very interesting to me, since we started talking about this a few months ago, was that the amount of guys, like very responsible, successful guys, were like, got to do it. You just got to do it. Like lecturing me that I had to do it. And I'm like, well, I've made it this long. I made it this long before I met my wife without having a problem. Why all of a sudden now is it like, you got to get it done?
Because it's
you're different now with your wife, though, right? Like, there's less precaution taken.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to have probably less precaution taken.
I got to tell you, in a way, I'm jealous of them. In a way, I'm jealous of them. I ain't gonna lie.
Or you raise your family.
Yeah. Because
Are you prepared, though? Like, have you stocked up on the... Like the peas.
When I was in the military, guys got it done
all the time, and they said buy like 6 bags of peas and just have them on rotate.
You eat them peas afterwards?
I don't know that you eat,
because they're in a bag, but they've been in places.
They were always at that point. They were, you get a pound for 99 cents or whatever.
Well, that was back in the day.
Back in the good old days.
It should be. It's been a week now.
Mike in Western Pennsylvania, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Mike.
Good luck to you in making this horrible decision. Good luck. I had mine done on a Friday afternoon, just like you're about to have it, at the end of the day. And next thing you know, it's same day procedure, outpatient clinic, wherever I was, where I was at the hospital. They got so far behind, then ended up moving my procedure to the labor and delivery room, where they deliver babies. I was able to look up in the mirrors and see everything that was going on.
Swear to God to you.
Here's what I'll tell you. I probably swelled up the size of a small orange after the fact. Get some peas, frozen peas, do everything like that.
Orange?
And be free. A small orange.
You're talking mandarin?
A tangerine.
Nah, bigger than that.
Nectarine.
It's not one of those gigantic.
Oh,
baseball. Like I'd say baseball.
A baseball.
All right.
That's still pretty big.
And be prepared for the first time you take a piss.
What's
like
going to happen?
Why?
No! No!
All right. Okay.
We're canceling.
That was something.
End of that.
Sorry, should my wife, if I ever get it done, should my wife have to come in and hold my leg like I had to hold hers? Jim in Strongsville, you're next up on the fan.
You have to do more than that.
Hello.
Listen, Lima, the one thing you have to know is you're fully exposed. There's lots of people around, so it's probably going to be like a typical Saturday night when you're single.
I've been an exhibitionist before. I'm down with that.
But also, you shouldn't worry about this, because when you inevitably get divorced, this is going to lead you to be like Charlie Sheen of our time.
This will be good for the show. This will be really good.
What could that possibly be?
Yeah, it's called a rampage.
Yeah, it's going to be. Oh, man.
Tigers.
It's going to be a free-for-all.
What season was at the end where Don Draper gives that look at the bar? And it's right at the end of the season of Mad Men. I go, oh, here comes Tone. Oh, yeah. But Jim, don't think I haven't thought about it already, my friend. You know that. All right, let me get another one in here quick. Let me get the Dan in Grafton. Dan, hello.
So, Lima, the one thing that you're going to have to worry about is you're going to have to make sure you're all nice and smooth down there, because if you get a hot nurse and she's like, oh, you missed a spot, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, this is how some adult movies start. You're not going to – the thing you're going to be worrying about is going to phase two, and you're not going to want to have that happen while two women are – going in between your legs, and there's smoke coming up between your legs when they cauterize.
Dan is right. I think you want somebody who looks
cauterize. Like... That's what I want to hear.
I think you're really like a Mike McCarthy type of person working.
Yeah, I don't want to hear cauterize. Yeah, I don't want to hear clamping. I don't want to hear any of this.
Yeah, can we get Andy Reid in the room?
Can we get the mashed potato crew in?
Can we just get someone to... What's Mike Holmgren doing? Should that be part of his contract?
I can't ask him for vasectomy tickets.
I can't stop. I can't.
I got people saying they're going tomorrow too. Maybe we'll hold hands during the procedure. Thanks, Mitchell.
I told you I wanted to get them done together, and we would hold hands and do the show with it while it going on, which I thought would be incredible. Our old boss called me a psycho.
The end of smoking aces on the beds.
216-474-0092. I mean, they're still rolling. Do we ask Mary Kay what you do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure she'll be opinionated.
I'm a texter. I'm not going to surprise her with it. What?
Can we take, when we come back, let's take like two or three.
Yeah. All right. 216-474-0092. Who's got the best advice for Tone as he gets prepared to get his vasectomy tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock?
Yeah, 3 o'clock. I know. We might be canceling. I'm being dead honest.
Now, is this like a national kickoff time where it says 3, but it's really like...
You should have...
3:25.
If the afternoon show's listening, they listen to everything. You should have to call in, give or take, whether or not you're getting it done or you're not getting it done tomorrow. You should have to do that.
I don't want to think about this anymore.
I think it'd be incredible.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.